Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We have a lot of things to be very proud of in the city that are happening right now. One of you saw today the GL52 races. So thank you to you and thank you to the city staff and to our partners at the port for making that happen. It's just the beginning of a very, very exciting future for Pensacola in the world of sailing. We fully anticipate that this will be the Annapolis of the South. Down here in Pensacola.
Former NAS Pensacola base commander, Captain retired Tim Kinsel, and now the city administrator, second in charge essentially behind D.C. Reeves, talking about the port, calling it the Annapolis of the South. I thought that was an interesting comment. By the way, I know it's a little off time for you if you're familiar with the schedule for the show. Normally we play that music at 7:35 or 40, but this morning we have a special opportunity. Every couple of months, maybe every month, we'll see how the schedule works out, but we like to have D.C. Reeves on to talk about all the things that are going on in the city for an hour where instead of me asking the questions, you ask the questions. So text in whatever the subject is. It's parking, it's American Magic, it's Baptist, it's road construction, it's these cones on Garden O. You know, whatever your issue is that you want to tie the redesign of Bayfront, I don't care, you know, whatever. Or something that never comes up and you want to raise it, text us, 437-1620. I will ask the question, the mayor will answer it. But before we get going on those or as the texts are coming in, Mayor, first of all, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely great to have you. I know what I think Lucky meant, but what did you interpret him meaning by calling us the Annapolis of the South?
Yeah, I think we are on the precipice of this amazing opportunity of having the most advanced sailing vessel in the United States of America calling Pensacola home. And like anything, there's the compounding impact of we've seen it, the GL52 races in March and April. There were about 160, 180 crew just for... not tourists, not people watching the race, just the people, 14 per boat plus others. And we did a welcome thing for them in March. And I said, hey, show of hands, how many of you have never been here before? Mm. And it was about 75% of the
people.
And these are folks that sail around the world. And obviously the feedback that we got even secondhand in Doug DeVos, the principal of American Magic, the owner of Orlando Magic.
Founder of Amway.
Yeah, exactly. You know, right? Yeah, was here.
Or I guess the son, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
In any case,
that family, yeah. And so he said, man, I can't count how many people come up to me and be like, why have you been keeping the secret from us? And that's what you want the principal of American Magic to feel and hear.
Right.
And that's certainly what we want our community to hear, because I've said this entire time, the bread and butter of American Magic, it's amazing to see Pensacola on that sail, right, during America's Cup. But I think the bread and butter of the return on investment is going to be these regattas. We're working on planning 8 more for 2026,
wow,
national or international. So so I think that's what he means, is to say, hey, we can really become this cluster of sailing and really plant our flag as the best place to do it in the United States.
And with the WAVE program at UWF coming to the port, you guys signed the deal finally with American Magic, right? That's done?
Yep, that is done.
Executed,
yeah, obviously,
right?
Yeah, increased costs, things like that, so we had to amend. And then also, I know they're getting involved with Pensacola State, actually. I believe
great.
They've hired 2 or 3 folks from Pensacola State already that are on the team,
okay,
helping on the manufacturing side. They'll be doing some manufacturing there as well.
God, so, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
That really does. That's a great, you know, co-alignment or whatever.
Yep.
All right, we're starting to get texts in. Let's go straight to the text. We got the mayor here for an hour taking your text, answering on any subject whatsoever, 437-1620. although, can I put an asterisk in?
Yeah, sure.
Honestly, do you spend more time governing the city or explaining to people that they're asking the wrong person?
Pretty close.
That's FDOT's thing. That's the county. That's
yes.
The state's thing. That's
yes. Yes. There's more feedback with the community is education based. It's not arguing subjective
right.
points. It's not, I feel like we should do A and the citizen or Andrew feels like it's B. It's more myth busting and no, 1 + 1 isn't 3. It's 2.
Right.
And then you can make your decision from there. I would say I spend a lot of time on the education of the facts, not subjective discussion.
And on that note, okay, even though it's not your fault, one of the things you've said many, many times, or your responsibility or air of authority, one of the things you've said many times is, but is there anything I can do to help? And I really adore that about you. Okay, so we got a text in here. Somebody says, what's the latest update on the project underneath 17th Avenue Trestle and or the warning system? I assume they mean and or the boat ramp and or the boardwalk.
Yes.
But, you know, as quickly as you can, where do we stand?
All right, I'll be very quick. South of the 17th Avenue, basically where Visit Pensacola's office is, all of that Wayside Park, I get about an email a month saying, Mayor, why haven't you fixed the picnic tables at Wayside? And I always say, I'm not going to fix picnic tables at Wayside, and then there's going to be a construction fence blocking you from using them for 2 years while they build the fishing bridge. So you can pretty much say, as you drive along 17th towards the graffiti bridge from the 3 mile, everything to your right before you get to the boat launch is going to be phased in a couple years when it's done being the lay down yard for the county's construction
project. The county is rebuilding the fishing bridge with FEMA money, but it has to rebuild the exact same way it was.
That's correct.
And there's no reason to put a whole bunch of nice carpet down, basically, when you're going to be tracking mud through to the kitchen on the rebuild for the
absolutely
bridge.
So that's one. And then everything to the north, we should be really starting, I would say, any week now on the walk under the trestle,
okay. The
repaving of the boat launch. We are working on the laser system, and I'm still flabbergasted by the idea when FDOT tells me that this will be the first warning system in the state of Florida for a bridge. And I think I'm like, I've said it to them directly. How is that possible?
Right.
That there isn't one bridge. And I guess if they've been built in the last 40 or 50 years, they probably have the clearance. And so maybe it's becoming a more and more rare thing. So, you know, one other thing that only Pensacola has, a warning system for a bridge.
But, so you're going to have on your left the welcome sign, which just got lit up last week. And
yep.
On your right, the warning system to tell you if this laser yells at you, you're going to hit that bridge. So that's, you know,
yeah, maybe we'll put the pelican as the warning light.
I love that. Definitely. All right, let's get traffic on the fives. Here we'll be back to the mayor in just a second. John Pickens, that's traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. Still rolling accident-free. I-110 and 10 look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. All right, next text here we have is, when is the city going to make sailing accessible to the average man in Pensacola?
Well, actually, there's a long foundation through the Yacht Club called the Satori Foundation that I always mention that their entire mission is to take underprivileged youth, at-risk youth, and get them out and accessible to the water. That's just a private, you know, 501c3 that's been around for a lot of years. You know, obviously that's not in the city's purview. We don't own any sailboats. You know, that's not part of what the city can do.
You do rent kayaks at the Bayview.
We do. But what I would tell you is I think as we see more and more of these events, they're going to be coming in and saying, we want people to be interacting with us, interacting with the water. So if you don't feel like there's that opportunity here, I guarantee you that's growing by the hour and by the day as we start to become this larger hub of American sailing.
And, you know, again, with the expansion at PSC or UWF, you know, we're going to see more and more and more of that.
Yep.
And, you know, I would expect some of the organizations that are coming to town, including American Mad, I would expect to see more.
Yep.
What is the progress update on the 3 mile fishing bridge, Pensacola side? So we already said
they're
county. Supposed to be starting soon. That's a county project.
I would say any month now. And about a $30 million project, I think, 20 to 30 million.
Oh, God, that ballooned. It was 15 originally.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2025.
Welcome to my life. There isn't one project that started at the price that it's ever ended up at. So, but yes, it should be full steam ahead. But that's a county. I don't know. I don't have exact dates. That's a county question.
Very good. And yeah, we're looking forward to that happening soon. Okay, this is a longer question, but we'll answer it on the other side of the break.
Yep.
Why'd you get rid of recycling when the facility had a newly built machine? Where are we at in recycling? We'll talk about that when we come back in just a second. Hey, if you're looking for that green, beautiful, lush lawn come this summer, you want to start thinking about that now. That's NSEC's Healthy Lawn Program. They'll come out and do a soil sample, look at your lawn, and figure out what exact things your soil, your area needs to get that lush, beautiful lawn coming up this summer. Free, of course. There's no cost for the lawn analysis and the estimate. And then you'll get 8 standard applications throughout the year with pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, turf damaging insect control, fungicide, all of that. Plus, they have a healthy landscape program if you're interested in that. Sign up today for $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program that includes a soil sample and the lime treatment on an average yard. Sign up today at NSEC, ENSEC.net.
Here's today's strength for life. It's okay to be angry. Godly parents should be lovingly angry with their children when they make sinful choices. Christian citizens should be righteously indignant over the rapidly increasing carnality of our country. Individuals should be personally angry when we do things that we know we shouldn't. Anger is often a right and God-honoring response, but anger can quickly accelerate into sin and into opportunities for the devil. Ephesians 4 instructs us to be angry, but sin not, neither give place or opportunity to the devil. Anger can easily become unrighteous and self-glorifying. Beware of sinful anger, because that's where the devil can get a foothold and ruin your marriage, destroy your relationships with your children, and wreak relational havoc of various types. So as much as possible, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Balin Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the brew-through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the brew-through to the early learning sensory garden. Thank you.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Silly old bear. Whoa!
You bring an energy I've never felt before.
That song. 7:21 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We're in the middle of a one-hour radio town hall with Mayor D.C. Rees, mayor of Pensacola, who is taking your questions over text at 437-1620. Right before we went to break, the question came in, why'd you get rid of recycling when the facility had a newly built machine? I just assume they mean, you know, where are we at with recycling and what's happening, but, you know.
Yeah, sure. Well, I always make one correction, say, why did we end recycling? We weren't recycling when I got here. I just want to be clear. You had a recycling can out front as a city resident, but between contamination, the lack of markets, more than half of the stuff you were putting in your recycling can was going to the dump.
Yeah.
Even if you thought it was recyclable, and
we were paying penalties, or at least we were paying tipping fee at the
landfill. Yeah, about $250 a load tipping fee. So it was getting so exorbitant where it was costing double and triple the cost to take contaminated recyclables.
And by the way, just for anybody who might not be familiar with the term, by contaminated, what he means is things you can't recycle that people put in recycling and make it impossible for the ECUA MRF to actually take that material. Because we're bad at it. We have been bad at it.
Exactly.
So what's the plan now?
So here, where we go from here is this will be the last month as a city resident, excuse me, that you will not be inundated with mail and messaging about signing up for the new recycling program. So it will be opt-in, a couple more dollars a month, $2 to $3 more a month than what you're paying right now. And if you don't want to recycle, we are going back to once a week garbage pickup. You'll actually be paying $4 or $5 less than you're paying right now.
Okay.
Because you're getting less service, so you'll pay a little bit less.
Instead of twice a week.
That's correct.
Okay.
So where everyone's going back to once a week garbage, it's just going back to whether you want to have a recycling can or a second can. When I got here, a second garbage can was double the price, which makes no
right. Logistically,
sense.
It doesn't cost you twice as much to pick
correct.
Up the second can.
So it should be $5 or $6 more.
Right.
Not,
should
not
be a marginal
more
extra
dollars.
Cost. Right.
So, anyway, all of those reforms are coming, and you'll be inundated with mail thanks to the Recycling Partnership $250,000 grant. About half of that is just in communication to get out to folks. So check your mailbox, your inbox, your social media, everywhere that you're going to be asked about whether you want to recycle or not. So that'll be May, and our hope is middle of June that you'll have your cans back out.
And so it'll be entirely opt-in, so you will not have to recycle if you don't want to.
That's correct.
And the funding for the promotional ad campaign is all coming from these companies that like to associate their name with the project of recycling, and so that's being funded through private money, not even the city money, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Next question, 437-1620. What is the status of the expansion to the airport? Is it currently in design?
Yeah, great question. Actually, I just had a very fascinating meeting at 30% design for the entire project with the designers.
Okay.
So I would expect dirt to be moving at some point in September.
Okay.
When I open businesses, I always use seasons because that gave me a little flexibility. But so I would say early fall to fall.
Okay.
Remember, it's going to be about a 2-year process, and it might start with the TSA area before there's an actual new physical building, things like that. So that doesn't mean you're going to start seeing a new terminal in September. You're just going to start, the work will begin. I give these guys credit and our airport team credit, the amount of work that it takes just to keep the airport operating mm-hmm. while you're building, $130-140 million expansion is significant. And a lot of that expense is propping up, temporary floors, mm-hmm. roofs, walls. So lots goes into making that thing work while all the work is being done.
In addition, we've already got a pretty big construction project going on at the northwest corner with the new hangars, 3 and 4 or just 3?
Just three. Then you'll see on council next week is the funding for an abbreviated 4. It's not as large as originally visioned because of funding, as always, but we're going out to bid for a hangar 4.
And including the groundbreaking, 2 weeks ago for the PSC, AMP, Airframe and Power Plant training program to provide people with the education they need to go work for ST, like all of that's in play right now.
Yep.
Quick break, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Still no accidents to report to you right now. If you're traveling on 98 eastbound through the Windhaven Beach area, expect about a 7 to 10-minute delay. Also on Highway 29 southbound, if you're approaching 9 Mile, expect about a 7 to 9-minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
437-1620 is the phone number if you want to text in a question for the mayor. We've got him for another 35 minutes. I don't quite understand this question, but I'm going to ask it and see if maybe it makes more sense to you. Did you hire the assistant city manager, Tim Kinsella, for strategic initiatives?
Well, I hired Tim because of...
Why wouldn't you hire?
Right. right. That and many more reasons. Tim's been great. He's been here a little over 6 months now. I think he's learning that time flies. We've been talking about that. It feels like we've been here a few hours. But man, from emergency management, all of that, looking at our policies and procedures, our structure, all of that stuff, we've made such huge strides thanks to Tim. And just the credibility he has with our directors, with our citizens. It has certainly been a huge help to me personally, as well as I think to our administration. So he's been awesome.
And by the way, you have Lance Scott, the retired Rear Admiral Lower,
yep.
Which, by the way, I tried to correct you that it was a 2-star. It is a 1-star. You were right. So I made that mistake. But he's now the new port director, and I think he's going to be fantastic,
yep.
too. So 437-1620. Have you ever considered a world-class aquarium in Pensacola?
That's been brought up some, but my first reaction is cost.
I mean,
just knowing that the cost and operation associated with that and whether we have the volumes of people.
Yeah.
When you look at where larger aquariums are in this country, in the Atlantas and the Miamis.
It's Chicago,
and, yeah,
right?
I don't know. That would be off the cuff. I'm no aquarium expert. I couldn't even keep one clean, when I was a kid. So, I would say...
In other words,
our market might be too small.
I would imagine something like this. I can't imagine there's a place that has a major aquarium that wouldn't also be qualified for a Topgolf, and we are not big enough to have a Topgolf.
Yeah, that's very good comparison.
437-1620, please ask the mayor ask the mayor his take on the governor's comments yesterday bashing the legislative delegation and not even allowing some of our elected officials into the event. If you want to involve yourself, feel free to. It's not my circus.
Well, yeah, I wasn't able to listen to the entire thing, so I might refrain from my opinion. But what I would say is,
I always forget you didn't go to UWF.
No,
you went to Florida.
FSU.
Sorry, my mistake.
So, listen, my feeling is, I want what's best for the community. I think our state delegation does. The reason they do what they do is they want the best for our community. And I think the reason the governor does what he does is what he wants the best for the state. Now, mm-hmm. those things, in the case of UWF, for example, don't always align. And so I certainly on that one particular issue, I'm in disagreement with the governor about, but there's lots of things that I'm in agreement with him about. So, my job, obviously, and what I'm hyper-focused on is what impacts does state proposals, state law have on our Pensacolians, and that's what I pay is, but probably a little more attention to than the back and forth, sure, or the mudslinging happening.
And by the way, if you issue. Want a pretty thorough assessment of the governor did badly yesterday, and you can check out the podcast. We've been talking about it all morning. We will talk about it after the mayor is gone at 8 o'clock. I've given you a lot of information, my assessment of it. The governor couldn't have done it any worse yesterday. My own personal take. Okay, there's a fact in here. I don't know if it's accurate. Address why Pensacola was listed as one of the 5 worst places to invest in Florida. Is there any? I've not heard that. Is there anything? I mean, sometimes these weird lists come out. Sometimes they're fake news. Frankly, people share it on social media. I don't know if that's true. I did not see that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, fair enough. if it were, is Pensacola a good place to invest?
I feel every meeting I have. I just had one yesterday.
Oh, so. By the way, from 9 to 11 this morning, speaking of, you have a meeting you're going to have, hear from contractors. Teach them how they can do business with the city better,
yep,
and hear feedback from them about how you're not doing it well. We got 10 seconds, location.
Yeah, at City Hall, 9 a.m. We got coffee and donuts. Come see us.
Outstanding. We'll be back in a few minutes with D.C. Reeves.
Fox News, I'm C.J. Papa, Maryland. Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen at Dulles International Airport in Virginia this morning. He's going to visit Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the man mistakenly sent to El Salvador.
He announced he'd be flying to El Salvador to do a welfare check on the illegal alien who'd been living in Maryland until he was deported in what 3 government officials conceded was an administrative error, while the administration also maintains allegations this man has ties to MS-13.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich of the White House. President Trump posting on Truth Social. He'll be at the table for talks today over tariffs and a trade deal with Japan. California looking to prevent President Trump from implementing tariffs. Governor Gavin Newsom and State Attorney General Rob Bonta will file in federal court Wednesday morning. The lawsuit will challenge the president's ability to impose import taxes known as tariffs without congressional approval. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 55 degrees right now. We've got sunshine on a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Pensacola. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday with a message for UWF.
Buckle up. You're going to see a lot of changes there for the better. It's going to be, I mean, how does like the most conservative part of the state have some of these like some of the most liberal programs in the state? It doesn't make any sense. So the times are a change in there, too.
Now, that from a press conference held at Pensacola State College on Tuesday morning, the governor speaking against House Bill 1321, the bill filed by District 1's Michelle Salzman. DeSantis said, quote, "Something is rotten in the Florida House of Representatives," and singled Salzman out, saying she was an ally but believes she's being pushed by party leadership to run that bill, which he thinks would unravel progress made in higher ed in the state. During that press conference, First Lady Casey DeSantis also spoke about Hope, Florida. A fishing charter out of Destin had a unique experience last week in the Gulf. A great white shark circled their boat for about 20 minutes. Captain Taylor Bankston was out with a family from Kentucky when they spotted the shark in the water. He estimated it about 14 foot long and between 11 and 1,400 pounds. Big change coming to Hurlburt Field in Okaloosa County. The Air Force yesterday announcing that Chief Master Sergeant Anthony Green has been relieved of his duties. The reason cited, a loss of confidence in his ability to fulfill those duties. No details on that were released. Green was the command chief of the Air Force Special Ops Command. He was the top enlisted airman at Hurlburt. He was stationed there for about 2 years. Rick Scott applauding what he's calling a big win for Florida's farmers. Senator Scott is expressing support yesterday for the Trump administration and their decision to terminate the 2019 tomato suspension agreement. Scott says that agreement didn't protect American producers from unfair foreign trade practices. He says it allowed Mexico's tomato exports to flood the U.S. market. He says the tomatoes were grown with child and forced labor to keep prices artificially cheap. That made it impossible for local producers to compete. An Okaloosa County man's been convicted of attempting to solicit a parent to allow him to have sex with a child, Michael Todd Rana. He was convicted last week in Okaloosa County, and prosecutors say he reached out to an undercover officer posing as the father of a 10-year-old girl. Rana reportedly wanted to pay for sex with the child. That crime was investigated by the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office and their Internet Crimes Against Children Division. Rana is due for sentencing on May 22nd. Well, a teacher over at Tate High School may be named as America's favorite teacher by Reader's Digest. Ninth grade English and AP Lit teacher Kristen Mao made it to the quarterfinals of that contest and is currently ranking first. The contest winner gets $25,000. At the school, if she wins, would get an appearance from Bill Nye the Science Guy at a future assembly. 735 at News Radio 92.3, John Pickens with our traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like we're having some minor delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. So just be aware there. Also, if you're traveling on Highway 90 southbound Avalon southbound toward I-10, you're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay through that area. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And right now, 7:35, let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We will have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up near 74 degrees in the afternoon for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 53. For Thursday, beautiful sunny weather, high near 76 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63 degrees. Keeping the sunshine around on Friday with a high near 79 and a low near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 57 degrees and sunshine in Pensacola. A little bit cooler in Gulf Breeze, 53 reported there, 52 in Milton. Your next news is at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now let's get a look at our pre-opening market report from Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning as investors awaited retail sales data and remained concerned after an aggressive bond market sell-off last week. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield fell less than a basis point to 4.315%. The U.S. retail sales report out later this morning should look solid as consumers are still spending money. Economists polled by Dow Jones anticipate a 1.2% increase on the month, up from a 0.2% climb in February. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Japan's chief trade negotiator will visit the United States this week for talks aimed at convincing President Trump to remove tariff measures against the East Asian country. Economic Revitalization Minister Roisei Akazawa will be in Washington from today until Friday. Futures are moderately lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 155, the NASDAQ down 8, the S&P 500 down 9. That's Your Money Now.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management. the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. This Friday at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves is here in studio with us. He's been here since 7 o'clock. If you're just tuning in, that's fine. Text me your questions. It's a radio town hall, 437-1620. I'm just going through them in order. I'm asking them, and we're trying to answer them as quickly as we can. We'll have them until the end of the hour. All right, Mayor, ask the mayor when they're going to fix the fountain at Palafox Pier.
Fountain at Palafox Pier, yes. Yeah, so when I started, that was one of the big questions. And then we spent about $11,000 and it lasted about an hour, felt like, and it was broken again. It's a fundamental design issue that they put all of the engine and all of the work underneath where water could get in.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're really looking
at... water intrusion from the surrounding water bay, right?
Yeah, so that's correct. So the fix of this, and remember, this is a fountain that existed before Plaza de Luna did, when this was the end of the road, right?
Yeah.
And so it's about an $80,000 to $100,000 fix with really no warranty on it. And so that's my hesitation. Not that we wouldn't, but also I'm looking at other opportunities potentially. I've been in discussions with American Magic about having a front-facing interaction with the community. And maybe
because the port is behind security line, their operation there. So could there be a place for them at Plaza de Luna kind of thing?
Exactly. I guess what I'm saying is we've got a fountain at the end of Plaza de Luna. Is it an absolute necessity that this 25 or 30 or however old this fountain is needs to be there? Probably not. Is there something that we can do that's more efficient for the taxpayer, but is also beautiful and aesthetic and has some interaction? Those are the things we're looking at both roads right now is do we just go ahead and bite the bullet and spend $100,000 on this fountain that may break in a couple more years, or do we get rid of it altogether and replace it with something that makes more sense.
Oh, my God. The mayor wants to kill the fountain. See? He hates everything. He took away Bayblus Park.
That's right.
The splash pad is sometimes open. Is it back going to be open regular?
Yeah.
That's all solved?
Yeah. And we have seasons for fountains. We'll always get calls in the winter and say, why isn't the fountain at Plaza Ferdinand going?
Yeah.
So we shut it down for a few months. We ask our team to be mindful of when the weather's turning back nice that we aren't so rigid about the dates that when it's back nice we can turn them back on. But as far as I've heard, it's up and running.
Okay.
And so
when will FDOT fix Cervantes on the west side? The curve by E Street is dangerous. Okay, so that would be right at the end of the fence area, I think, as he's talking about. That'd be by Addicts Court, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that would be
I know the turn
to Baptist. I don't know. I'd have to learn more information. Obviously, that's back to what you said at the top
Who's
of the hour. Kind of
what?
A state road issue, but you always feel free to email me, and I can forward it along.
Signs in public parks for no smoking or vaping. Who does that? Is it being done?
Parks and Rec team would be the one that's doing it.
Okay.
We'd have to look at that. Obviously, yes, that ordinance did pass. It's not something that we're going to be able to have people feet on the street enforcing. It's really more I think it starts as a courtesy type
thing. You take some PPD folks who are looking for extra duty. You put them in a ghillie suit. You hide them in the shrubs at Bayview Park, and they can jump out and pounce on vapors.
Yeah, well, right. And
good use of money.
Yeah, exactly. Good use of money. Well, it's like the red light cameras or anything else. You know, it's
That's coming next question, by the way.
But that is the rule because we don't want people smoking next to the kids' playground and have that. But we are also not unrealistic in our ability to enforce something at 94 parks around the city every single hour.
Somebody says, when are we going to get a red light camera at 9th Avenue and Cervantes?
Well, I would say the red light camera, as this thing has evolved, has become a fascinating yay or nay, terms of our community, because I think it really began, like everything with change, began more of apprehensive. And now I get probably more emails saying, why can't you have it at more lights?
Why'd you do it at so few places?
Yeah. And as I mentioned, someone on Facebook mentioned, this is a revenue stream. And I remind everybody, if this was about a revenue stream for the city, it would be much more financially beneficial for us to do. That's what made me think of it, your previous comment. It would be much more financially beneficial to the city directly if we just put cops at every one of these red lights, because those tickets are $260 or $280.
Mm-hmm.
There is no vendor. There is no state of Florida cut. There is no all these things. It's very little of the revenue is actually coming to the city. And as I say, I want no revenue for red light cameras. So we'll look at these.
Because you want no red light running.
That's correct. Right. And if we have to take them down because no one's run red lights and no one's getting in accidents, then that's a great problem to have. But
we're not quite there.
In terms of, what I really want to see is a good 6 months of data. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have a month where we had no wrecks at these five intersections and then do mission accomplished. We're not going to do that. And we're not going to overreact if it's with these large numbers yet. What we're hoping is education gets out there. We know that the enforcement's on your GPSs now, and it has been. Google Maps notifies you that it's a photo enforced intersection. Mm-hmm. All those things are in place. We want people to know. We are not looking for people to run
the point the red is light. For people to know.
Yeah, exactly.
So that they don't run red lights.
So,
I had asked you this before, but I don't know if we have any information yet. The ultimate justification of this program is not the issuing of tickets or the in-state, the out-of-state plates, all of those kind of. The real issue is, in 2023 and 2024, we had 93 accidents a year at these intersections, and in 2025 and 26, we had 80 or 70. That will really be the proof of the pudding to me. It's such an accident is not so common, so it's hard statistically to make it work, but that's the end goal, right?
Absolutely. And that's what I'm looking at. So to this question of will we put more, probably not for now. We're going to see how these work so we have a good sample size and understand if they are effective. And I've said that from the beginning. I have no problem, as you should expect from your mayor, I have no problem going back and saying, hey, it's something we tried for a year or 2 years, year and a half, whatever it is, and what didn't work the way we want it to work, we'll go to the next thing. We should not have ego in this business, and we should be able to say this doesn't work. We certainly don't have near enough data right now at this point to say what is or isn't working. And so we'll keep a close eye on that. And that's why we really want to keep a constant on the sample. We are not actively looking to add intersections at this time.
And also, we'll learn what we've always known, that is everybody in Pensacola is a great driver.
Yeah.
And we'll be done. John Pickens got traffic on the 5. John?
Speaking of great drivers, we've got an accident that just happened at Longleaf Drive and Pine Forest Road. First responders are on their way there, so that's the only accident we're reporting right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay, but other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Your text, 437-1620. Ask the mayor anything you want to ask him. We got Mayor D.C. Reeves here until the end of the hour. We'll go as fast as we can. Well, still speaking at normal people speed, which we never do anyway. The old medical center building on Palafox Street, your favorite topic. Vandalism, theft of copper, broken windows, visible code violations. Why isn't the building on the code enforcement agenda for a citation? Is eminent domain on the table? I'm adding to the question. Where does that stand?
Well, first of all, it is. I believe the fines, excuse me, I believe the fines are somewhere in the $65,000 range at this point. When I got into this job, the commercial fines were so low that it wasn't going to make anybody take action on commercial property. We raised those significantly. So it's well over $60,000.
What you want is not fines. What you want is compliance.
That's correct. Yeah. Or sell it or do something, get it off of the books of being blighted and having a negative impact on the city.
Right. I mean, so, that was an abandoned building when I moved here 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's been that way forever.
So here's what I'll tell you. For the first time in many years that anybody in the building can figure out is I've been in direct conversation with the ownership of that, mm-hmm. based out of New York. They've been hard to get on the phone, and we have things developing. As we
okay.
speak. So what I would say to that question is I 100% agree that this is a major issue. I think it's the poster child of commercial blight, and something has to be done. And so we are in direct conversation with them about lots of things, and you know, we should have something to share with you
okay.
very, very soon.
Well, that's exciting. Ask DC whether we can keep Davis and MLK one way and turn one of the lanes in each direction into a protected bike lane. They don't say why they want to keep it one way, but it sounds like they want to make sure there's bike lanes, but there's going to be bike lanes.
That's correct. And so remember with state roads, and this is I know this will come up in this month during the conversation about the Sun Trail on Bayfront, is, listen, FDOT also has a say in this. These are their roads, mm-hmm. and there's going to be some certain minimum things that they're going to want to do. These conversations are not one-way conversations that we can come up with anything we want. Perfect example on Bayfront. There's lots of conversations about should we go down to two lane and all of that. Well, there's other things in play. There's the port traffic. Mm-hmm. That there's other factors that don't allow it to just be exactly what we want. What I can tell you philosophically is I am right there with everybody that wants to narrow lanes, that wants to decrease lanes. Philosophically, I am 100% with you. But there are other realities, especially on state roads, that kind of say, well, no, that we don't have a genie lamp here. We can't, you know, the state still does have some things that it wants to be able to do. How do we find and push for that best happy medium that we can get? And so I don't know that going that far is realistic. But listen, they also didn't have to even allow us to stop at the 11th hour and fund a design for a two-way. They didn't mm-hmm. have to do that. These are their roads.
They're cooperating.
Yeah, and so my relationship with FDOT has been very good. And when we've called with a problem or trying to nudge them on something, they've seemed to always answer the bell for us. So push for what you want. Advocate for more biking, more walking. I'm all for it. But there are going to be some realities sometimes that we just can't overcome.
I had gotten a text the other day. Somebody asked me, is there any talk about reserving one of the roads or the other as a pure multimodal, as a bike pedestrian, something that would not have cars at all? I assume that's not on the table, but
that would be tough with all those houses.
Yeah, that's, you know, what I was thinking. Access to the houses would be the challenge.
Yeah, I don't know how okay. you would come up with that. Then how would they get there? How would these folks that need a car, access to their car, be able to get there?
Thanks for the opportunity to ask Mr. Mayor if anyone thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. If anybody would like to start a new business here in Pensacola, resources, financial assistance to help us get started.
Oh, great question. That's what I used to do for a living. The Spring Entrepreneur Hub and SBDC are two great places to start. It is a great place to start a business. And there are a ton of resources out there. But those are two good places to start because they're kind of the front door. They're the triage that can get you where you need to go.
They can navigate you towards your real source of whatever.
Because there's plenty of amazing other resources for small businesses around here. We actually had an entire map that we made before I became mayor that actually outlined all of that. I'm not sure how updated it is, but but start with those two and
say
kind
again
of
where they want to go, just in case.
SBDC, small small business development, and also the Spring Entrepreneur Hub. Yep. That's where I used to work, which is a nonprofit based in downtown on Garden Street.
Can you ask the mayor if he would consider adding an ice skating hockey rink to Pensacola, generate revenue to the whole community? There's no rink for miles. Big part of the Bay Center. Additions, upgrades that you are going to have a joint meeting with the county on, right?
Yeah, I believe so. So I think where it stands is we're shooting for a joint meeting, and we're waiting to hear back with the county. But we're shooting for a joint meeting in mid-May to have our kind of vision area expert that'll come and kind of lay out what all of the impacts, the traffic, the property, what. And it should answer that question, right? As you can imagine, Andrew, I've been asked that many times. Should it be a conference center? Should it be a soccer stadium? Should it be an ice rink? Well, my answer normally is, I don't know. That's why we're hiring this group, is for them to do economic analysis on what does or doesn't work. But I would warn this, and this really dovetails to your last question about entrepreneurship. When I would sit down with an aspiring entrepreneur, and what they said to me is they said, hey, I have this idea, and no one else around here is doing it. My warning always was, is there a reason for that? And so, I think saying that there isn't something, conference center, sports facility, ice rink, within 4 hours or within 5 hours, don't assume that that's a compelling argument. It actually might be the opposite and say, well, if there was a market for it, mm-hmm. the private market would also be involved at this point or be investing in
right.
it. And so, and that goes for all of these. So I'm excited to see what comes back and what does the private market want to invest in that lowers the tax burden on the mm-hmm. taxpayer? There's all of these other factors, and that's why for $100 million and the multi-generational impact of whatever happens here, we have to do this together, and we have to move this ball forward together.
And maybe people in 20 years will not gripe and complain and grouse about all the dumb decisions that went into what we are experiencing now, but instead maybe talk about, oh, those geniuses in 2025, they really did a good thing. Let's take a real quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Beach is a wonderful place to vacation and celebrate with your family. If you thought about having a family celebration or a memorable beach wedding, Casa de Luna still has good dates available this year. Casa de Luna is spacious, with room for large families. It has 9 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. And the pool can be heated. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another as a genuine jacuzzi. There's a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
I'm a lonely as a first night. It's O-S-C-A-R. All right, we're back with Mayor D.C. Reeves. Quickly running out of time, unfortunately. I thought I'd share this text just because I think it'll give you a kick. At 437-1620, you can text me your questions for the mayor, who's here in studio all hour. And if you missed any of it, you can check out the podcast later. We'll have that up as its own thing. DC, your Jeep is cool, but I think the Tercel fit you better.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
Saw you on the way to work this morning on East Street. He was in the white GMC Denali. I don't know.
Well, I would say my first car was a 1991 Toyota Tercel hatchback, and nothing nice. Tempers your ego as a 16-year-old. And it sputtered 19, as you started and everything.
1984 Dodge Colt in brushed aluminum. That's the DeLorean that looked like somebody in third grade drew it. 437-1620. When the pickleball courts open up in the port of Pensacola, Portside Pickle, are they going to be any security issues, people trying to get it in the port to get out to the pickleball, and where are they going to park? They're moving the perimeter, right?
Yeah. The fence line has already moved back. The outdoor courts are, I mean, it should be any day, any week. Now, it looks beautiful there. And part of our agreement was they actually had to extend the public access along the water where the ferry landing was and improve all of that in the same uniform look. Tons of parking down there. We have 320, 330 spaces of public free, 24-hour day free parking that is right next to the building.
The Triangle at Langley, worst intersection by far. Speaking of intersection of ownership and responsibility, FDOT owns the roads, the county owns the land, but city residents drive through it. Do I have it right?
I think so.
So why don't you fix it?
Yeah. We're talking about the 5 points.
Oh,
area.
God. Don't call it that.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Unless we can start tunneling into water tables, I am no traffic engineer. I don't know what the solution is, but certainly if we felt like there was a viable one, We'd take it on for sure.
But can I just say that the roundabout's probably not in the design right now?
We got a few other irons in the fire before we get to that one.
If you could go back in time and do it, that intersection would actually be the perfect place for a European-style two-lane roundabout. But, yeah, we're not doing that. Let's see. Where we go here? Can anything be done about the people that do charity sales work, the coming up to my car to sell me donuts? It's relentless.
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, had a meeting about that this week and about making sure that we respect all the rules as it pertains to what people asking for money personally is different than someone asking on behalf of a company or on behalf of a nonprofit. That's okay. What we know the delineation is. Nothing stops DC Reeves and Andrew McKay from approaching someone else personally to say, can I have $5? Whether you like that or not, that there's laws and protections for that. On the other side, we think that's a little different. And so we are working towards some solutions that say we're not going to just have anybody walking around in commercial areas that we don't know who they're representing and all of that. So more to come on that.
Let's see. Can we get a Corvette for PPD?
No, we'll just use chips.
Borrow the sheriff's vehicle when you need it. let's see. I'm trying to look through the ones that are in here. And that one we already answered. It's too little time. Mayor, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, as always.
The park renovation project is underway. We've got the Bay Bluffs Park, the partnership with the conservatory, that's underway.
Yep.
And, just lots of things that are in process. So, again, thank you for the time. Yep. And sorry we couldn't get to all your questions, but I know we tried.
Yeah, we did. Thank you so much.
All right, sir. We'll see you next week.